Good morning again. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in it this morning. As our family gathered this morning inside of the discipleship classroom and in our praise and worship service on today, want to remind you that we will be administering the Lord's Supper on today. Right after our sharing, we will be administering the Lord's Supper on today. So just prepare yourself for that, your elements. For you that may not have those prepackaged elements, certainly you can use a piece of bread, grape juice, or you can even use water, understanding what each represents in terms of the bread representing his body and that liquid representing his shed blood for the remission of our sins. What's most important is that we have received him as our personal Savior, that he lives on the inside of us, and we know he lives there via he Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and that we know that we are connected to the true vine, John 15, and that we are being renewed and transformed by the word of God. So it is so important as we remember what Jesus did for us there at Calvary, but also remember he has called us to a great commission. So I just want to remind us to prepare our minds and prepare our hearts as well as our places as we administer the Lord's Supper later in our services. I also want to remind you again, just thank you all for last weekend. What an awesome time we had both Saturday as well as Sunday. The gathering of the troops last week, last Sunday downtown was an awesome experience. It was something else. I will say that the Lord does more. He exceeds our expectations, and it lets me know that we should not limit God and put God in a box. And certainly that's the ministry or the partnership overall name we come under, Out of the Box Ministries, and to see God work. And last Sunday, the Lord showed me you don't have to have public transportation running every day. Simply put the word out and people will come. And many may have come for a sandwich and some water, but they came and they received the word of God first. So they received bread as well as they received the drink, the word of God with the movement of the Holy Spirit. So again, just thank each of you that supported that effort, both in your presence as well as in your love offerings and your donations. So just thank you again. The third thing is this morning, our message will be based on Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3 is a very, very short passage of scripture this morning, but it's packed, I believe, with a message for us as disciples of Christ. It's nestled between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. That's where you will find it located this morning. So we are going to go ahead and prepare ourselves to go into our service, asking that you please keep those that may have had family members promoted, those that are facing challenges, as well as those are in the midst of celebrations as well this morning. So again, welcome to all of you. I want you to know that you are welcome to the gathering place Beyond the Walls, located here in Macon, Georgia. We're going to go ahead and open with our opening scripture this morning. I'm going to ask Sister Ruby if she would come and after our scripture, come with our prayer. And then after our prayer, we will have the reading of the scripture by our sister, Sister Wanda, this morning. So good to have her with us. And then we will have our song of praise and then we will come back and open up to see what this scripture speaks to us this morning. Our opening scripture comes from Psalms 100, and it begins at verse number 1. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his court with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I read Psalms 100 this morning in its entirety, and I'm going to ask this morning that we refer back to verse number 5 as we look into our lesson on this morning from coming from Lamentations chapter number 3. Sister Ruby.
Our Father, Lord God, we come this morning saying thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Lord, that you allowed us to lay down last night, God. But we're so grateful that you touched us this morning with your finger of love. We're so grateful, God, for another chance to call on your holy and righteous name. We come right now in the name of Jesus, asking that you forgive us for all our sins, God. We ask that you create in us a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within us this morning, God. Lord God, let us be hearers of your word, but not only hearers, but let us be doers of your word. Let us go out and tell some lost soul about the goodness of Jesus, Lord God. We just thank you this morning. I come right now in the name of Jesus, lifting up every household that's on this line, Lord God. You know what our needs are. You know what our heart's desires are. We ask right now that you touch each household, Lord God, each family member, Lord God. We ask that you bless them, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up Minister Deborah Singleton to you right now, God. We ask that you enlarge her territory. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will cover from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, God. We lift up Mother Neal, Lord God. We ask for a special blessing for Mother Neal. We lift up Mother Wimley to you right now, Lord God. We ask that you continue to heal her body, Lord God. We ask that you continue to strengthen her, God. Lord God, we lift up Uncle John to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for these warriors, Lord God. We thank you for their wisdom, their knowledge, Lord God. We thank you for giving them something to pour back into us, your people, God. Lord God, we love you this morning. We love you, God. We love you, Lord. We want to give you all the praise because you're so worthy, God. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy, God. We thank you for this another day to call on your holy name, Lord. I shout glory, hallelujah, this morning because I'm so grateful for this, an opportunity to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I can't say nothing else, I'm going to say thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Ruby, for leading us to the throne of grace this morning, reminding us of the great God that we serve, the almighty God we serve, the all-sufficient God, the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God that we serve and that we are aligned to. Before my sister comes and read our scripture this morning, coming from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning there about verse number 16 this morning, I want to just kind of set, because it's in the middle of this particular passage or this chapter, I want to just give you a few nuggets to think about as she reads this scripture for us in our hearing this morning. I want to let us know this morning that the penman of this particular passage of scripture is known as Jeremiah. And this morning, Jeremiah is sharing with us his desperation. He's sharing with us the pain that he is feeling because Jerusalem and Judah has been devastated. The city has been devastated. The walls have been torn. The temple has been torn down, and they are in captivity. The Babylonian army has come in and have sieged and has taken over that city. And this morning, we hear Jeremiah speaking. Sister Gloria, a poet, can understand these verses this morning. We can understand the depths of what he's feeling because they feel that God has forgotten about them. They feel that God has closed his ears to them. And notice how Jeremiah pours his heart out this morning. So in the verses that you hear my sister read this morning, I want us to keep in mind as she speaks about Jeremiah's feeling and as he captures the desperation, he captures the pain, the torture that they are feeling. I want us to also hear the faithfulness of our God. The faithfulness of our God when we are not faithful this morning. So as she begins to read, I want you to hear what Jeremiah is saying. He's giving his personal testimony of his feeling, but not only his personal testimony, but Sister Ruby, he's representing the people. He's representing them in terms of what they feel. But then I want you all to see hope even in the midst of misery, hope even in the midst of desperation, hope even in the midst when you feel that you are at your wit's end. So Sister Wanda, come on and share with us how Jeremiah speaks to us this morning about what he's going through and what he's feeling, but yet and still talk to us this morning from the scriptures on God is faithful even when we are not. Come on, my sister.
Good morning, good morning. We read in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, and it read as follows. He has broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, and I say it, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and roaming, the warm wood and the gale, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my sister. Amen. Thank you for reading our scripture so well this morning. You just brought it to light. If you would, sister, read verse 22 through 24 one more time for us to hear it. One more time.
Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again for the reading of our scripture this morning from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 16 all the way to verse number 24 this morning. Thank you again. Our praise and worship this morning will be brought to us by Brother Al. Brother Al, come on and share with us this morning songs of praise.
Amen. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious mountain free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever. Heal my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beam around me. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond the river.
Yes, yes.
Hear the cross.
Yes.
In the cross be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Al, for leading us in our praise song this morning. Our sister, Sister Wanda, for reading our scripture this morning from Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse number 16 this morning. And thanks, Sister Ruby, for leading us to the throne of grace on today. I want to say good morning to each of you that are joining us here on this beautiful first Sunday in July. This morning, I'm going to ask if you would please let's roll up our sleeves and let's get to work. Our topic this morning is simply, God is faithful even when we are not. God is faithful even when we are not. Someone is probably asking the question this morning, Minister Deborah, how can you say that? What scriptures do you have to back up the statement that you're making this morning? Well, go with me to 2 Timothy 2 and 13. This is what it says. If we are faithless, he, meaning God, remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 9. Here's what it says, Sister JJ. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. Yes, God is faithful. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Yes, God is faithful, Sister Wanda. Here's the other thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he would not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Yes, my sisters and brothers, this morning, Brother Al, I want to build a foundation, Uncle John, that our God, my God, is faithful. Let me give you another scripture, 1 John 1 and 9, and this is a scripture that all of us should have highlighted in our Bibles, marked or starred in our Bibles, because this scripture deals with the believer. Here's what it says, Brother Al. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. That means God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone says, is asking the question, why would Deborah say that this scripture is for the believer? It is. Because we as believers, once we have given our lives to Christ Jesus, we still make some missteps in life. We still may not align to the commandments. God told us to do this, and we did the opposite. This scripture is for the believer. It says that if we confess our sins, if we confess our missteps, if we confess not aligning to his word, the word of God says that God is faithful, Uncle John. Not only is he faithful, but he is just. And here's what he would do. He will forgive us our sins. And guess what? He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and he will restore us. God is faithful. I'm just trying to build the case this morning to let us know that the God that we serve is faithful. 1 Samuel 26:23 says, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out my hand against the Lord's anointing. Yes, our God is faithful. Let me give you one more scripture this morning, and we will move on into our lesson today. I want to give you the scripture that comes from Exodus 34 and 6. Here's what it says. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord of God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and abounding in faithfulness. I just want to tell you this morning that the God we serve is faithful. He's faithful. He's just. He's upright. And he is the one that we serve, even in the midst of Sister Ruby, when we are not faithful. Our God is faithful. If you don't take note, just take those scriptures and go back through them and remind yourself of the God that you serve and how faithful that God is to us, his disciples. We look in Lamentations itself today as we look in this scripture. It says, Lamentations 3:23, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Many of us have heard the song, Great is Thou Faithfulness. It says, Great is Thou Faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thou compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thou faithfulness. Great is thou faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. So not only do we have scripture after scripture that provides to us the faithfulness of God, we also have songs and hymns that also elevate and share with us the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father. Here's the third thing that we have, Minister Braxton, is we have our own personal testimony that we can say on the line this morning that I know that God is faithful. I know that God is faithful, that he has kept me. He brought me even when I missed him, even when I messed up. God is still faithful. So Mother Neal, as we look in this lesson this morning, I want you to keep that in mind, how faithful God is, even in my mess-ups, even in my misery, even in my desperation, even when I've done wrong, God is still faithful. When we look at this lesson this morning, and I point to Sister Gloria, she's our poet on the line. And when I look at this, Sister Gloria, Jeremiah wrote this collection of five poems after the Babylonians conquered Jerusalem, but before he was taken to Egypt against his will. We see Jeremiah being the penman of this collection of five poems. This was a time of deep grief and national mourning. Writing after the catastrophe of Jerusalem's defeat, Jeremiah considered the contrast between happy, a prosperous Jerusalem at one time and the lonely, empty, conquered city after the Babylonian conquest. Once Jerusalem was full of people, now she's empty. Once she was great among the nations, but now she is like a slave. After the poetic images of the first few verses in chapter 1 of Lamentations, Jeremiah simply reported the fact. Judah was conquered and captive. Once busy entrances to the city seemed empty. All her gates now are desolate. And all who were connected with Jerusalem were dispirited. They sighed and they were afflicted. Judah's enemies are blessed as they prosper and master over them. So as we heard Sister Wanda reading those verses from Jeremiah speaking from a personal perspective, we see that he is not in a jubilant attitude, a happy or joyous attitude, but he finds himself in desperation. He finds himself in misery. He finds himself in a place that has been left desolate. Somebody asked a question this morning. Deborah, if they are people of God, tell us what happened. I'm glad you asked. The people, you all, had abandoned God. They left the covenant behind, and they served false gods and idols. What God promised when he gave the law, he fulfilled in this generation, which leads us into our lesson this morning. Yes, you all. They had abandoned God. And here's the thing. God had been talking to them through the prophet Uncle John. He had continually to send them word in terms of that they were going against the law. They were going against the commandments that he had given them. And God was continuing. He didn't just all of a sudden say, this is it. But he had continually, he was wooing them through the prophets. He was wooing them through the teachers. He was wooing them and calling them to come back to him. But they kept on down their road. They abandoned God. They abandoned God's word. When we go over to Leviticus chapter 26, verses 27 and 33, we read these words, Sister Wanda. But if in spite of this, you would not listen to me, but walk contrary to me, I will scatter you among the nations, and I will upsheath the sword after you, and your land shall be a desolation, and your city shall be a waste. God has sent them warnings. After warning, after warning, but they kept running behind and they kept serving false gods and false idols. So God carried out his rod of discipline. And I want us to understand something this morning. God disciplines all of us. For when we step out, we misstep and we do that which is not what God has called us to do. He disciplines us because he loves us. That's the reason why Sister Ruby disciplines her grandson. That's why Sister Gloria disciplines her grandchildren. Because guess what? Discipline is an action. Discipline, my grandmother disciplined me because she loved me. And God disciplines Judah. He disciplines Jerusalem. Notice this. If Jerusalem had remained faithful to Yahweh, no enemy could have conquered them. Yet because of their persistent, notice this word, persistent sin and rebellion, God had exalted the horn of their adversaries. Who was their adversaries, Minister Deborah? It was the Babylonian nation. God's discipline came as the rod of his wrath. But God made a way for them to get back to him and live in the love, the joy, and peace that he had for them. God does the same thing for us this morning. That's why I read 1 John 1:9 this morning. God makes a way for us to come back to him when we have veered, when we have gone down the wrong road, when we're supposed to be, for example, headed to Atlanta, and then we're supposed to be going to Union Station. And what we do, Sister Glory, is we take the exit at Jonesboro, knowing that that's not the way to get to where we're supposed to be going. But God brings us back. He restores us. And that's what I want us as believers to understand, that there is a way back. And we need to tell our young people that there is a way back. God is faithful even when we are not faithful. When we look at Lamentations, Lamentations is a book of tears. Because if you read all five chapters, it causes your mother Neil to cry. It causes your sister JJ, when you look at the desperation, you look at the city that was once filled with people, once with joy and laughter, when you see them go from that to desolation. When you see a city that was prosperous and everything was going well, and they go from that to being poor. Yes. We see this when we read throughout Lamentations. Not only is this a book of tears, there was great weeping when Jerusalem was burned, Pastor Kuiper, and the people of Judah were taken captive to Babylon. It was a time of suffering, and it was a time of pain. It was a time of chastisement for the ongoing sin of the people. Jeremiah wrote these inspired words out of the anguish of his heart. Notice what he says here. He writes about this catastrophe of Jerusalem's defeat. He writes about going from prosperous to being lonely and empty. He writes about them being once full of people and now they're empty. He writes about the routes to Jerusalem once was crowded with pilgrims going up to the temple to participate in their rites and their rituals, and they are now completely deserted because the temple has been destroyed. I want to paint the picture this morning, you all, of the desperation that they find themselves in, the misery that they find themselves in, because they decided to do what they wanted to do. They decided to follow after the idol God. They decided to follow after the false prophets. They decided to follow after the false teachers. And notice what happened. They go from riches to rags. But my God doesn't change. My God is faithful when I am faithless. Notice this. I just want to paint the picture for you this morning as why this scripture is so important for us to understand how faithful God is. God is faithful even when we mess up. When we make a mess of things, God is still faithful. And God is still wooing us and saying, come on back to me. I love you. I want you back. God is wooing us this morning. No, notice, let me keep on painting the picture, how bad it is, Sister Gloria, my poet, how bad it looks. This situation, a city that was once prosperous, have gone from riches to rags. The routes, as I said, to Jerusalem that was once crowded, headed, going to the temple is no more, because the temple no longer exists because of the Babylonian captivity, them coming in and taking and ruining the city. Here's something else. Jeremiah understood that this catastrophe was not due to fate. It wasn't due to human cruelty or blind cycles of history. It was because Judah had sinned so long and so deep that it was God's will to afflict her with severe correction. It was because of the multitude of her transgressions. Notice what I said, to correct her, to bring about a change in behavior, to bring about a change in who they align to bring about a change, to bring them back to him. Notice this. But even in the midst of this horrible situation, I'm just going to say it like that. Even in the midst of going from riches to rags, even from going through a large temple that sat there in the city to no temple at all, nestled in the middle of all of this, sandwiched in the middle of all of this, Minister Braxton, we find incredible hope in the meaning of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. This passage is the perfect reminder for us today. It's a reminder to me today. Many of us find ourselves in dire situations that seem as though they are hopeless. But this promise still rings true that God's mercies are new every morning. In the midst of it, in the midst, we find Jeremiah is as though he was crawling from under the rocks. He was crawling from under the despair. He was crawling from under what was happening and what he saw all around him. And he began to reach. I can see him now in the mind. He begins to reach and he begins to remember the hope. He begins to remember that God is faithful. He begins to remember that God's mercy is new every day. Somebody needs to come from under the covers. Somebody has been oppressed and depressed, and because of this is what you heard and that's what you heard and what you've seen on the news. You got to start lifting your hand up and say, I know that my God's mercy is new every day. I know that my God is faithful. I know that my God hears and answers prayer. I can see Jeremiah. I can see him. He's bursting through you all. Even in the midst of how bad it looks. Even in the midst of what the report says. Even in the midst of what they say about our children in the school system. I can see Jeremiah saying, wait a minute. I see a glimpse of hope. I see that my God is faithful. I see that his mercies are new every day. Oh, no, notice this. Let me give you a little bit more about this city, Jerusalem and Judah. Her children have gone into captivity before the enemy. For the multitude of our sins directly contrary to his promise in case of obedience. Not only our young and old men, but the little children have been driven like sheep before the enemy into a miserable captivity. Not only were men and women taken into captivity, you all, but little children were taken into captivity. Look at what's going over in Hamas. Look at what's going over there in Israel. It's the same situation here. It's desperate. It's miserable. The enemy, all her splendor has departed. Jeremiah's pain was amplified as he thought of how it used to be in Jerusalem. Now the people and place of Jerusalem were desolate, and they were defeated. Her princesses had become like deer. Both hope and leadership for the city has abandoned Jerusalem. They have no leadership. They feel as though they have no hope. The enemy has taken mothers and fathers, men and women, have taken the small children, have taken the babies, and they are left deprived. But yet, Jeremiah sees hope. Jerusalem remembers all her pleasant things. The tragedy of Jerusalem's fall was worse after considering how things were once so much better. The memory of days of pleasant things stung in the days of her affliction and roaming. When her people fell into the hand of the enemy with no one to help her. When the enemy came against her, Jerusalem was completely alone. The help many hoped for from Egypt never arrived. Because of this, the adversaries saw her and they mocked at her downfall. That's what Babylon did. The Babylonians, when they came in and they seized the city of Jerusalem and Judah. If you go back and Google some of the pictures of how desolate the city looked, how the gates looked and how the temple looked, that no vegetation, and they were in despair, and they were taken from the city, and they were taken in captivity. I want to paint this picture this morning. As Jeremiah described the tragedy of Jerusalem's fall, one will rightly ask why. The answer was simple. It was because of the great sin of the people of the city over many generations. God would send prophets and tell them the way you're going is the wrong way. And they continue to bow their idols. They continue to bow down to the sun and the moon and the stars. rather than worship the creator of the moon, the stars, they began to worship the things. But yet, Jerusalem never thought about where her path of sin and rebellion would lead her. Her lack of forethought meant her collapse was going to be awesome. She never thought, Jerusalem and Judah never thought how it would be. They thought they were riding high. They thought they had it made. They never thought that God would do this, but God warned them. Don't run after these idols. Don't run after these false prophets. Don't run after these false teachers. He warned them over and over and over again. How many of us on the line have warned our children? We warn our grandchildren. We warn our neighbors. We warn our spouses. We warn our sisters and brothers. But they continue down the path that they are going. But I want to remind us this morning, do not give up, because hope, I can see Jeremiah, he said, even in the midst of it, I see a glimpse of hope because I see the Lord, and I know that my God is faithful. I know that his mercies are new every day. Let's keep walking this morning. Let's walk out of this catastrophe. Let's walk over the rocks this morning. Pick up your feet this morning. Walk over the rocks. Walk over the despair. Because we're going to walk right into the arms of our Heavenly Father. Walk over there. I know we see it. We see it in our own lives many times. We see it in the lives of others. We see the misery. We see the desperation. We see all of the rocks. We see once from riches going to rags. Once joyous, now sad. But all... Jeremiah, Uncle John, don't leave us in this situation. And notice this. Jeremiah did not stay in this dark and desperate place. That's why I'm telling somebody, take them covers off your head. Open your windows up. Turn your lights on. Let the sun shine in. Because I want to give you some relief this morning. He says, Jeremiah did not stay in this dark and desperate place. Go back and read chapter 1 of Lamentation. I talked about how Judah, how the city looked, how Jerusalem looked, how they went from one stage of life to another stage. But Jeremiah tells us this morning, he said, I'm not going to stay in this dark and desolate place. I'm not going to stay in this desperate place. But he would not deny being there. Many times through the affliction, he felt God to be his adversary and not his friend. Somebody say this morning, Deborah, how in the world God could do that? God was disciplining them because he loved them. When we don't discipline our children, we're telling them we don't love them. When we just let them do what they want to do, we're telling them we don't love them. When we let them say anything they want to say, what we're telling them is, I don't love you. God is saying, I'm disciplining you. God has disciplined the very one that's speaking to you this morning because he loves me. He wants me to stay on the path of righteousness. He wants me to stay in the path of holiness. He did not punish me, but he disciplined me. He corrected me because he wants me to be a child of his. He wants me to be able to walk in the places he wants me to walk in and do what he's called me to do. We have to be disciplined. We have to be corrected by God, corrected by his word. Let me keep on pushing this morning. I hope you're getting some out of this. Notice Jeremiah. He got personal, Uncle John, when you look at verses 1 through 9. Right there in Lamentations chapter 3, he gets personal, Sister Wanda. He gets personal from the perspective of, he says, I'm a man that has been afflicted by the Lord. What do you mean, Deborah? Notice what he says. He and many others had seen the affliction. and they knew that it came as God's discipline, the rod of his wrath. He has led me, Jeremiah said, and made me walk in darkness. This seems to be the hardest part of our lot, that God should lead us into darkness. Surely he has turned his hand against me, Jeremiah said. Jeremiah did not stay in this dark and desperate place, but he would not deny being there. Many times through the affliction, he felt God to be his adversary and not his friend. He said, this is what Jeremiah said, he has besieged me. He surrounded me by bitterness and woe, and slowly I've been strangled by God. Jeremiah makes this, he draws some pictures for us this morning. He shuts out my prayer. When things are right with our relationship with God, he is our refuge and defense in affliction. In their depths of affliction, this was not the experience of Jeremiah and the people of Judah. They were surrounded. They were hedged in. They were blocked in. But they never could say that they did not know why. He has been, Jeremiah kept on talking. He's been like me, been to me like a bear lying in wait. God was like the bear and the lion waiting for a surprise attack. That's the way Jeremiah described it. God was like the mocker who led the taunting song against his people. Jeremiah said that God was like the brute breaking his teeth with gravel. What a figure to express disgust and pain and the consequent incapacity of taking food for the support of life. Notice this. Jeremiah said it was as though God was giving me gravel to eat for food. And that gravel was breaking my teeth. Jeremiah paints the picture this morning. And he keeps on, and he keeps on talking this morning, and he says, notice in verse 16, he has broken my teeth with gravel. He has trampled me in the dust. Notice how Jeremiah talks about the experience and what they were feeling, because they had, the people of God had gone against the commands of God over and over again. But I want to draw you all's attention to something. He says, I have been deprived of peace. Look at verse 17. Not only has he broken my teeth and caused me to eat gravel for food, not only has he trampled me in the dust. This is the way Jeremiah describes it. He says, I've been deprived of, I don't have no peace. I don't have the peace that God would give me. I forgot what prosperity looks like. We've gone from being rich. We've gone to rags. We've gone to being rich and gone to poverty. Oh, listen to Jeremiah. And look at verse, he says 17. I've been deprived of peace. I've forgotten about what prosperity is. I've forgotten about what it looks like. I've forgotten about what it looks like going to the temple. I've forgotten about what it looks like having any kind of food to eat that we wanted to eat. I have forgotten about it. Look at verse 18. So I say, my splendor is gone. My joy is gone. My peace is gone. And all that I had hoped for from the Lord. Oh, notice this. Jeremiah, he keeps on telling us what the desperation looked like, what misery looked like, what it felt like, what it tasted like. But when you get down to verse number 19, notice what Jeremiah said. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. Notice this, what comes to Jeremiah's mind. He says, I remember all of these things. I remember the feeling of it. I remember the taste of it. I remember what it looks like. I remember the meals that I used to could eat, but now I'm eating gravel, I'm eating pebbles, I'm eating rock, I'm eating dirt. And it's so bad that it's grinding my teeth. Jeremiah says, he says, I've been deprived. I don't have no peace anymore. Don't have the riches anymore. I don't have the splendor anymore. I don't have the joy anymore, Uncle John. He says, I well remember, look at verse 20. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. Oh, Jeremiah paints a picture this morning. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a position or a place that you're like, Lord, where are you? Lord, help me. Notice what Jeremiah said, but here's a breakthrough this morning. Somebody needs to see the breakthrough. The breakthrough comes with verse 21. I love it. My Bible in the NIV, it says, yet, Y-E-T. That's a powerful word, yet. Yet, this I call to mind. Here's what Jeremiah said. I see what I'm in the midst of. I see what my situation looks like. I see it with my eyes. I feel it. But notice what he says. Yet, this I call to mind. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me go back into my, go back to my memory bank. Let me go back to the word I've been taught by my mama and my daddy. Let me go back to what I read about in the scrolls. Let me go back to what I remember that was taught in the temple. See, you got to, when you get in desperation, when you get depressed, you got to stop living in the depression. You got to go and pull your Bible out. And you got to start saying, wait a minute, what did God say to me in Hebrews 13 and 5b? He told me that he would never leave me. He told me that he would never forsake me. See, we have to, when we find ourselves in this place, we got to go to our memory bank. We got to, Uncle John, go to the Word of God, and we got to start reading. What does God say about this? That's what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah said, I'm caught up in this because we did wrong. We are being disciplined. We are being corrected. And we feel like this is over. We feel like it's over for us. We feel like God has left us. We feel like God hadn't heard us. But notice what Jeremiah said. I love verse 21. Yet, Sister Ruby, yet this I call to mind. That's why Sister Ruby goes to Isaiah 43 and she goes to her refrigerator. She got, I been over to her house. She got it posted on her refrigerator. Sister JJ, she got scriptures posted throughout. And when she gets in a certain situation and a certain state of mind, she goes to that scripture. And that scripture reminds of her of who she is. It reminds her most of all who God is. It reminds her of what God promised her in Isaiah 43 and 2. When you come to the wall. When you come to the rivers, when you come to the fiery situations in life. See, we as disciples of Christ, we got to stop falling apart. We got to go to the Word of God that encourages us. Oh, even in the midst of my mess up, I still can go to the Word of God because I go to the Word of the Lord, 1 John 1 and 9. Lord, I messed up. I sinned. I said something I shouldn't have said. I did something I shouldn't have done. And you said, if I confess my sin, that you are faithful and that you are just and that you will forgive me and that you will restore me. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind. Sister Wanda, you got to call to your mind. When things get a little rough, things get tough, you say to yourself, the refrigerator went out. Then you go out and then you find out the start on your car and went out. Then you go to the job and they tell you, we'll cut your hours. You got to know where to go when the going gets tough, Mother Neal. You got to know where to go. Sometimes I go to the rock, and that rock is Jesus. I go to his word, and I claim his promises in his word, what he promised me. I take that first step when I know I messed up. I take that first step of 1 John 1 and 9. Did I remind myself of who I am in Christ Jesus, Mother Cora? I remind myself that I'm forgiven. I remind myself that I'm redeemed. I remind myself I'm the righteousness of God. So notice what Jeremiah said. I call to mind. That means you start remembering. You remember what he brought you out of. You remember Minister Braxton when you didn't have this and how God made a way. Didn't have a job, but God made a way. You remember on your job a couple of years ago when they were reshuffling and resizing and reshaping and all of that. Some people didn't have a job at the end, and you have a job. Somebody on this line know what I'm talking about this morning when you did not know the way out. God, it came back to your mind. If God did it for grandma, he'll do it for me. If I'm connected to the true vine, I'm one of his children. Let me keep on going. Yet this I call to mind. I brought it back to my memory. I read it in the scroll. I heard it at the temple when we would go to the temple in Jerusalem. I heard my mom and daddy talk about it. And he says, verse 21, and therefore I have hope. My. Bad situation. Desperate. Misery. All around. But then Jeremiah says, I recalled. I hit the recall button, and I recall what God has already done, what he did in my past, how he brought me out, how he kept me, how he protected me. So then Jeremiah said, wait a minute here. I may be in a bad situation, but I got hope because my hope is in God. Let me keep on reading this morning. Because of the Lord's great love, steadfast love, you all, we are not consumed. I want you all to write that down this morning, the hope. As Jeremiah looked back on the experiences of his past, he suddenly remembers the steadfast, unceasing love of the Lord. What about you this morning? When you look back, you see that God has always loved you. His love has been steadfast. His love has been unceasing. And this renewed revelation of God's faithfulness changes everything for the prophet. Don't it change your situation when you start testifying to yourself? Have you ever walked around your house and start testifying to yourself, saying, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord is doing. And you start counting your blessings. You start saying, look over there. God did that. Notice how when you start counting your blessings and when you start, Uncle John, looking at the faithfulness of God, and how he brought you out, how he protected you, how he kept you. How when some folks say, I put my hand in my pocket and all I brought out was lint, but yet and still God made a way. Jeremiah speaks to us this morning. He speaks to me. How when I change my attitude, I change my view, Brother Al, and begin to see God's faithfulness. That put some hope in my situation. That put some clapping in my hand. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm a clapper. I say hallelujah. I run. I don't mind giving my testimony because I know what God has done for me. So I see Jeremiah, y'all. I can see him dusting himself off. I can see him, Sister Gloria, moving his arms and said, I remember how he brought me. I remember how he kept me. And if he kept me then, he can keep me now. Notice this. Because of his compassions fail not. First, he tells us about the steadfast love of God, the unceasing love of the Lord. Then he tells us about his compassion fail not. Even in the severity of correction, God's people endured. Even in the midst of God correcting me, even in the midst of God disciplining me, I have endured. There was evidence of his compassion. There was rich comfort in realizing that the tender affection of God was not completely spent. These compassions, you all, were new every morning. God does not borrow. He did not borrow from Saturday to bring me something today. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Each dawning day gives mankind hope and fresh. I want you to write a fresh mercy and compassion from God. We need a constant supply, and God has promised to send them without fail. No matter how bad the past day was, God's people can look to the new morning with faith and hope. His steadfast love, you all, his unceasing love, his compassions fail not. I get new mercies every day. Great is your faithfulness. All this made Jeremiah consider the great faithfulness of God, that he never failed in sending his mercy and compassion. And you all, sometimes I got people that get upset with me downtown, and they're sharing with me, and I allow them to vent. And once I let them vent, I don't let them keep going, because I have to remind them of the faithfulness of God. I have to remind them of God sending us new mercies every day. I have to remind them of God's love for them, God's compassion for them. Even in their catastrophe, God was still faithful. He faithfully announced his judgment and performed them, and God will prove to be just as faithful in his promised restoration. God was going to restore them. When we say God is faithful, it means that he is completely trustworthy. He is perfectly faithful. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago." Because God is faithful, we can always, you all, my sisters and my brothers this morning, we can always rely on and we can trust him, and we don't have to fall apart. We don't have to fall apart. Then not only did Jeremiah talk to us this morning about the faithfulness of God, he talked about his compassions never fail. He talked about the new mercies that we receive every day. He talked about how great God's faithfulness is and that God is trustworthy. But here's something else he tells us. He says, "The Lord is my portion." The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. What does he mean? When we go back to the Old Testament, we find that the tribe Levi did not receive a portion of the land because the Lord God said, "I will take care of them. I will provide for them." And what is he saying to Jeremiah? What is Jeremiah saying? Jeremiah said, he's giving a testimony to me this morning, a testimony to you, that the Lord is our portion. The Lord is the one that we can rely on. The Lord is the one that's going to provide for us. That's what Jeremiah said. He said, "The Lord is my portion. The Lord is the one that's going to satisfy me. The Lord is going to give me what I need. The Lord is going to give me my inheritance. The Lord is going to give me what he has for me for the future. I can find my portion in the Lord. The Lord is my portion." He's the one that's going to keep me. He's the one that's going to provide for me. He's the one that's going to regulate my mind. He's the one that's going to heal me. He's the one that's going to deliver me. He's the one that's going to provide for me. Jeremiah reminds us this morning that the Lord, Sister Wanda, is your portion. And he says, therefore, I'm going to wait on him. You got to have a made up mind that you're going to rely on the Lord, that you're going to wait on him. The Lord is good to those who wait on him and wait for him. He's good to the soul that seeks him. That means seeks his will, seeks his way, and seeks his word. It's good that he should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Everything previous in Lamentations was deep in despair. The misery was by no means over. But yet and still, these flashes of light of hope are welcome and necessary. Against all the despair, Jeremiah, Uncle John, proclaimed to himself and all others the goodness of hope and patiently seeking of God. I want to tell us this morning as I close, in the middle of tragedy and suffering, we might be tempted to think God doesn't love us. But this passage of scripture this morning lets us know that God loves us. And that we have a promise of God's steadfast love. This is how I apply this to my life. Steadfast means firmly fixed or immovable. In other words, nothing we have faced or will face can possibly remove us from God's love. His mercies are new every morning. Every time we wake up, God's mercies are new. And this is another way of showing us that God's mercy will never run out. Regardless of how often you rely on God's compassion, there will be more for us tomorrow. This is an opportunity to return to God even after we mess up, even after we misstep. We don't need to worry about God's mercy running dry or running out. When our hearts struggle with fear and discouragement and loneliness, pain or grief, reminding ourselves of the constancy of God's love can be a tremendously encouraging game changer. I love to see, I love that game changer in verse number 21 of chapter 3 of Lamentations. That was a game changer. Yet this I call to mind. That's a game changer. When you stop looking at how bad it is and you start looking at God's faithfulness, God's compassion, God's mercy, that's a game changer. I want to remind us, when we fall short of the mark by giving in to sin, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. He's faithful at such times to discipline us and to correct us. But I want you all to know, don't let the enemy, don't let the devil lie to you. He lies and try to tell us that there's a permanent wedge between us and God when we mess up. But notice what Paul said over there in Romans 8, 35 through 39. I'm not going to read it all, but I want you to go back and read it. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No. Despite all these things, we have overwhelming victory. As I close, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases means he will fulfill his purpose for our lives. He will safeguard us in this world and keep us into eternity. This morning, I want us to remember something. God is faithful. even when we are not. God's love and compassion and mercies are new every day. Yes, we may be living a little bit like Jeremiah, but I want us to capture that verse number 21 this morning. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, no matter what, I know he brought me through some many, many storms. He's still bringing me through. When the barrel get low, I know he provides more meal in that barrel. And I am just grateful, grateful. Thank you so much for that powerful, powerful teaching, Minister Singleton, that brings it straight home. And I don't have to look back 20 years ago. I can look back yesterday and see how he kept me, how he blessed me. And even when I strayed off the path, he still was right there protecting me. And I'm just so grateful. I'm just grateful for you and grateful for the message this morning, because the message really, really was sticking with me. And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. At this time, is there any questions, comments, encouraging words? Any questions, comments, encouraging words for Minister Singleton?
I just want to say it was an awesome lesson. There are so many nuggets that's in there that we can use in our everyday lives. And one of them that's encouraging to me that I can share with my grandkids is nothing can remove us from God's love. They need to know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like she said, don't let the devil lie to you. So many mishaps and so many tricks that the enemy uses in the minds of the youth, that some things they share with us, some things they don't, but you know that they're thinking about them. And because they're thinking about them, we can always encourage them. Nothing can remove you from God's love. I don't care what you do, how you do it. You know, just be mindful of what you do.
Yes.
God's going to love you anyway. And I think that's all that they really want. They want is to be loved and to be accepted and to be appreciated. So it's a great lesson for me and my family. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mr.
Come back and confess. When I mess up, come back and confess. He's going to chastise me, but I know he'll never leave me nor forsake me.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And the chastisement is only for correction, just as we do our children, our grandchildren, our great-grand. It's to correct us, and it's to show us that he loves us, because if he did, that shows us he doesn't love us. That shows us that we don't love our children when we don't correct them and let them do what they want to do and say what they want to say. And so I'm thankful for correction. I'm thankful for discipline, so that I can be all that he wants me to be. And Sister Wanda, you said something so true. They want to know that they are appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it is so important, you all, that our children is involved in ministry, so that they can give back, but also so that someone can say, I thank you for what you did. Too many times we don't appreciate them. We walk by what they do. Versus saying, you know what, that was great what you did. Opening that door for that elderly lady, opening that door for them, they had all being appreciated. And then we can begin to even minister to them even the more. That was an awesome statement, sister, in terms of that. And that steadfast love that God has for us. Please make sure we write down these scriptures, because they're so important. Because you'll forget what I've said today. You'll forget my name and all those things of who said it. But when we write down that scripture, Romans 8, 35 through 39, and post that in our houses and remind our children that, look, let me show you somebody who will love you forever. They will love you forever. You ain't got to worry about how many likes you have on your Facebook page or how many postings or how many thumbs up. God will love us. And he puts us in a position that we can be loved by him. I don't know anybody better to love me than our Heavenly Father. No one. Amen. Thank you. Great, great point, sister. Great point. Anyone else this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Mother Carla.
Praise God for the word this morning.
Amen.
Thanking him for reassurance even now. I remember in my younger days when my parents, they would let us know that this is not the way. This, you can't do it this way. You can't do it your way. And we didn't appreciate it then because we didn't understand fully of what they were saying. But as we grew into the grace of God and we learned, then we passed it on. Well, I can't speak for them. Well, I can too, but I passed it on to my children.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to say thank you to my mom because they passed at a young age, but I see the benefit now from my children when they come and thank me for what I have passed on to them, and they have something to pass on to their children.
Yeah.
And it's such a joy to know that God will keep us in perfect peace if we stay in his word and in his will, and it will go on from generation to generation.
Hallelujah.
You just continue to thank God and just continue to share this word, not only with my birth children. I got plenty of children.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we have to do. We have to reach beyond the inside house and go outside the house. Because, you know, God wants us to share it with others. Somebody, all parents are not sharing it. So then we have to take up that slack and be that parent to share. We say we don't want anyone to perish just like God don't want us to. And we know what it's like if we don't get it out there to them. Who's going to do it? So we can't be selfish and hold it for ours and give it to ours. And then we see my neighbor's children running amok and don't say nothing.
No.
I got plenty of children. I'm going to speak up. And
hallelujah.
That's it. It's just in me. I know my kids used to get upset that they're not your children. You can't do that. I have the right and the authority. God gave it to me, and I'm supposed to use it to benefit them as well as you. And I would hope that somebody would do it for you all. If you out there, that someone would take the time out and say, baby, that's wrong. Don't go that way.
Hallelujah.
And don't envy the evil man, and don't choose to run with him. To God be the glory.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are words of wisdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You're so right, Mother Cora. I went to a gathering yesterday, and I saw these children there, and I didn't know them. They didn't know me, and I just gathered them around, and we started talking. And God gives us an opportunity to minister no matter where we are.
Mm.
And we, just like you said, we got to be willing to be disciples of Christ.
Mm.
Disciples of Christ no matter where we are. And if here's the thing, if I got to know everybody I'm going to talk to, I'm in trouble. Mm. We're in trouble. If I got to know you before I say something to you, we're in trouble.
Amen.
Because God put the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And if we listen to him, he gives us the approach that we need to take. And you're right, with children. I couldn't let them do what they were doing. And they just gathered around and we continued to talk and do what we were doing. And then I could introduce and ask them about, do you go to church? Where you go to church at? Have you been to church? Would you like to come to church? Those kinds of things. So you're so right. These are words of wisdom. These are nuggets that we need to help us as we grow this community of believers. But thank you so much.
And you'll see that child maybe 20, 15, 10 years later, and they will still remember.
Amen.
And they'll thank you.
Amen. You're right, Mother Cora. With you being here with us last Sunday, you saw some of the ones that many of us on this line was very involved in their upbringing. And you saw that. You saw one on the grill. You saw one driving the van. You saw one working inside of the building. Those were ones that nuggets had been put in their lives. And those kids now is 30, 40 years old.
All right.
And yet and still we can call them and ask them to help us if they're available. So you're right. Putting these nuggets in their lives and share with them and be with them when they go through the hard times too. Because just as Jeremiah said, this is where we are now. But we're not going to be in this forever.
Mm.
So there is that glimpse of hope, and that's what we have to do. We with them when it's good times, when graduation and all these coming. But what about when they hit hard times?
Amen.
That's when they really need us to come alongside them with the word of God. They need the word, you all. That's what they're asking for. That's what they're craving for. They want to know, where can I go in the word and find what you're talking about? And that's why this morning I wanted to set the lesson up. Let's talk about, show me in the word where God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Show me not only in the word he's faithful. Show me in my life where he's been faithful. Everybody on this line got a testimony this morning that can talk about the faithfulness of God. Amen. Thank you, Mother Cora. Amen. I'm glad you saw it with your own eyes. Amen. Amen. Anyone else this morning? The faithfulness of God. God is faithful.
Amen. And our children are looking for that.
Yes, ma'am.
They're reaching out. They might not be reaching out in the way that we think they should, but they're reaching.
Yes, ma'am.
When they're being destructive, they're reaching.
Yes,
they
ma'am.
Reaching. They're looking for somebody to come to their rescue.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else this morning? I hear you. I hear you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would do something for me real quick before Uncle John comes to the line. I want you to come off of mute. I want you to come off of mute this morning. And if you can testify based on the scripture this morning, that God is faithful, that you have experienced God's unfailing, steadfast love, I want you to just give a hand clap of praise this morning, or amen, or whichever way you want to do it. I'm not going to tell you how, but if you have experienced God's faithfulness, just come off of mute, and whatever way you want to praise him, if you want to say thank, whatever way, if you have experienced what Jeremiah talked about, and yet in the midst of it, you saw a game changer that it came to your mind, wait a minute, I know God is with me. I know God has not left me. I know God has not forsaken me. I know he's going to keep his promise to me. If you are one of those people this morning, just come off of mute, and whatever way you want to praise God, whatever way you want to do it, just help yourself this morning.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God be glory. Always God. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your love, God.
Thank
you for your forgiveness, Lord. Thank you for forgiving me, God, when I messed up, my missteps, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
No other way.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
There is no other way.
Thank you, Lord.
Only you, Lord. Only you, God. Only you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, it was you, Lord. Nobody else could do it but you.
Thank you, Lord. When it looked like I couldn't do it, but, Lord, you stepped in. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Praise him, praise him, praise him.
Thank you, Lord.
You were there all the time. All the time.
Thank you, Lord.
Brought it back to my remembrance. You were there. Right
so
there.
So glad to do it, Lord. Thank you.
You're present. You're truly present. Your presence was made known.
Thank you, Lord. God, thank you.
You wrapped your arms around me. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
thank you, Lord.
You lifted me up, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Your righteousness. Your righteousness. Your righteousness. Glory, glory. Hallelujah.
Please, Lord, help me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you.
Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Your word is true all by itself.
Thank you, Lord. When the money ran out, thank you, Lord. How you? Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you said, come home, my child. Come home. Time to come home. Shut it down.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. God is faithful.
Thank you.
Always had people in place.
God is faithful.
Always.
God is faithful.
And your word is true.
God,
I'm a believer. Your word.
You supplied all.
Today said God is faithful.
Yeah, you told me you wouldn't leave me.
Faithful.
You said I won't leave you. I won't leave you.
God is faithful.
Cling, cling, cling on. No matter what it looked like. No matter but the stumbling. Stumbling blocks in the way. Got to come up a little higher. You're too low. Come on up here. Yeah, step up.
Hallelujah.
You got no business down there. Come on up. Move up. Keep reaching. Hallelujah. Glory.
Good morning, my sister. Good morning, Minister Singleton. I was sitting over in the other room. Brother Al had his phone turned on, and I was listening from in my office. There were some things I needed to do, and I thank God for your word that you shared this morning, how you continue to encourage me as well as others, letting me know that God is faithful. And I know that he is faithful and that he will do what he said that he has promised to do. I know him to be a healer because not only did he heal my body, but he healed my husband's body. That's in the word. So I thank God for his healing virtue. I know that he is a provider because he has provided for me each and every day. I can't speak for nobody else. So I just thank God for being a provider and a way maker. I thank him for being almighty because I've seen his mighty hand work in my life. I'll be 65 years old this year, but 15, 20 years ago, I ain't even supposed to be here right now. So I thank God, even though when I was, hallelujah, in my mess and fell out a couple of times, should have been dead, but God is faithful. He kept me here for a reason. So I thank God again for the message. Like I said, I was sitting in here listening, but I could feel the presence of the Lord coming from the other room saying, daughter, speak up. So I want to thank God for your word this morning, and I am a witness that God is faithful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen, 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 amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The world need to know.
Thank you, Chief.
Who's going to tell them? I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Time to praise. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Thank him, thank him, thank him. All things. All things. Hallelujah, God. Glory to your name. You're so worthy, so worthy.
When I was in trouble, you brought me over. Nobody but you,
Lord. Nobody but you. Nobody but you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, 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 yes.
Big Lord, you brought me over. You brought me
over.
Oh. Amen.
Don't have to wonder. No, it was you, Lord God.
Nobody but
you. Your grace and mercy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Only. Only.
Yes, nobody but you.
Glory.
Trusting in his holy word.
Hallelujah.
Trusting in his holy word. Hallelujah, Lord God. You said it. Never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Present help. Even in the time of trouble, you are present help. Thank you.
Yes,
right
ma'am.
There.
Yes, ma'am.
To God be the glory.
Yes, ma'am.
Glory of the Lord.
Yes,
he is no false God. This is the real, true, and living God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
He's alive. He's alive. He's well.
Yes.
A well provider.
Hallelujah.
He supplies all our needs. All our needs. All of our needs. All of our needs. Need healing. We need deliverance. All of our needs. Ooh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Said we can come to him. Cast them on him. Cast all our cares on him. Not one, two, all of them. Hallelujah. That's love.
Yes.
That's agape love. That's deep love. That's heart love.
Yes.
That's not mouth love. That's that comes from the heart.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes.
Glory, hallelujah.
Somebody should have said We ain't going to let nothing separate us from our God. Some had became wealthy and well-to-do, but that was enough when God sent the enemy for you. But did I forget to tell you that God can send the enemy for me and you? God has a person. It happened. Well, it can happen again. I still have hope in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. That's all I need. You on the line that's going to have all you need. Whatever you need this morning, God got it. Question arose, why did God allow his children through such an old deal in a land that was filled with milk and honey? Let me tell you, there are some thorns and thistles in every land that we must go through when we don't serve God. I still have hope this morning. Do you have hope this morning? Amen.
I got hope, Uncle Joe. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got hope. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
He's faithful. He's faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful. Remember, don't remember nothing else. Remember, God is faithful.
Amen. We want to thank each of you for joining with us on today. Before we move forward in our administration of the Lord's Supper, we are going to ask if there are any announcements, Sister Ruby, for us this morning. Any additional announcements?
Good morning, everyone. We're asking everyone to please come out this evening and be with us at our 7 p.m. Minister Glenda Brown will be bringing the word. And we just thank you all, and I appreciate each and every one of you all who showed up last weekend. It just made my heart fill with joy to see the love, the laughter, and to meet all of you all. And I'm so grateful. Thank you all for supporting Minister Singleton and all she does. I am just grateful. And y'all know I love her. So with that said, if you're in this area on July the 25th, which is a Thursday, she will be preaching at Sand Ridge Baptist Church. If you're in this area, contact me. I have a van going because we are going to support our very own. If you love me, support me. And I love her, and I'm going to support her. And I love the Lord, and I love each and every one of you all. Thank you all so very much for what you all do.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm like Sister Ruby. I cannot thank each of you enough for the support of this past weekend. What an awesome time you had, an awesome time of seeing Uncle John, Pastor Charles, Sister Tony, Mother Cora, come in, the ministry that we are making the donation to in terms of the hygiene items. They're going to pick them up this week. And I know that our account is way beyond 400 plus, and that is an awesome a turnout for such a outreach ministry. Those that could not come here, amen. Those that was not here physically, we want to thank you for your love offerings, and certainly thank you for your prayers Last Sunday was absolutely awesome. Again, I can't talk enough about it. 70-plus people. I think about 70, wouldn't you say, Mother Cora, if not a bit more. We had standing room only. And we have a pretty large pavilion,
amen.
But it was standing room only. And Mother Cora got an opportunity to sit amongst the people last Sunday. Mother Cora, I know this is on the recording, so your daughter hear it, is that she said to me, she says, I think my mama set all of this up. She wanted to be here today. And I think, and I said, why you think that? She said, notice how she jumps out the truck and she all back there in the midst of the service. And I'm up here and I'm still sick. I'm still hurting and everything. I said, well, you know, the Lord answers prayer. The Lord answers prayer. So Mother Cora had a chance to sit amongst everyone on last week and just so thankful for the support again and certainly the prayers and the donations. Thank you so, so much. Thank you, Uncle John. I know about you. Thank you so much for what you did. Thanks to Mother Neal. As well, and as others, like I say, those who could not physically be here, we certainly want to thank you for the donations that you made to make everything possible. The meal was absolutely delicious. Anyone on the line that was there, I mean, it was absolutely awesome. And I probably should not have done this, but I've been eating it since last week. Now I'll stop now. So, and I'm fine. I'm good, but it was just so, so, so good. And we'll get an opportunity also to serve a similar meal this week on this Thursday because of the love of Sister Ruby. So we're going to be able to produce that same meal again downtown this week. So I am grateful again. We are going to prepare now for administering the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask if you have your sanitizer nearby or cloth nearby to go ahead and just kind of wash your hands, if you would, please. An indication, I know that we have already prayed and asked the Lord to wash our hearts and our minds as well. So we want to prepare for administering the Lord's Supper this morning. Again, just thank all of you for joining with us on today. This to me was an awesome lesson, and as I listened to the Holy Spirit in the sharing this morning, I got even more out of it. It was one that to be tackled, and certainly we have been spending the whole week in this scripture, in these passages of scripture, and I'm just so thankful for the Lord on how he just reveals it, just continue to reveal it to us. So that's an encouragement to all of us. Stay before the Lord as we get into the Word, and I tell you, the Holy Spirit will begin to just open it up more and more to you. So again, just thank you so much. Let us prepare for the Lord's Supper this morning. I'm going to close out in prayer the first half, and then I'm going to ask Uncle John if he would open us with song this morning. And after our song, we will begin. And then I'm going to ask Brother Al if he's still available to close us out in song in our second half. Lord, again, we want to just tell you thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be able to open the Word of God this morning. And God, use us as an earthen vessel for the Word to come forth. I thank you, God, for reminding me that you are faithful. I thank you for reminding me that your mercies are new each day. I thank you for reminding me, oh God, that I can come before you and ask for forgiveness, oh God, and that you will forgive me. I thank you that I can stand on your promises of Hebrews 13:5 that says that you would never leave me or forsake me. I thank you that I can stand on 1 John 1:9 this morning, that I can thank you for forgiving me and restoring me, oh God. And Lord, I thank you for loving me. And Lord, not only me, God, but those that others that are on the line this morning, I lift them to you, God. You know what they're facing. You know what they're in the midst of. I lift Sister JJ to you right now in the name of Jesus. I know, God, that you are the healer. And I know, God, that we're standing on Isaiah 53:4-5 for her as well as for others. That not only is she healed, H-E-A-L-E-D, but she has the victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Her victory is in you. Lord, not only her, but each of us know that there's nothing that can separate us from your love. Calamity can't separate us. Persecution can't separate us. Hunger can't separate us, oh God. Trouble can't separate us. Danger can't separate us. Even being threatened by death cannot separate us from your love. And I'm so glad about it right now. Lord, I thank you this morning of your love and your kindness. And Lord, I thank you for being our God, the almighty God, the all-sufficient God, the all-knowing God. I ask right now, God, as we go into the second half, God, of our service today, as we go before the table, a table in which you have set for us, oh God, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, wash us and cleanse us and make us the disciples you have called us to be. In the name of Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Uncle John.
Jesus, keep me near thy cross. Bow the precious fountain.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Uncle John, for leading us in our song of preparation this morning. We as disciples of Christ, those of us that have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, those of us that are connected to the true vine, come to the table today that has been prepared not by ourselves, but been prepared by Jesus. We come to the table this morning thanking God for loving us so much, thanking God for John 3:16. We thank Jesus for coming and his obedience that he came down through 42 generations, and he came and he walked this earth doing and being on assignment for his heavenly Father. Yes, he was on assignment. Mark 15:21 speaks to us this morning about the assignment that he was on. And it reads, a certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country. And they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It goes on to say, it was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, the King of the Jews. I want to remind us this morning of the cross that he went to. He went to the cross not for anything that he had done wrong, but he went to the cross for you and I. When we go over to 1 Corinthians this morning and looking at chapter number 11 and looking at verse 23 through verse 26, it speaks to us as we come to the table. It reads, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. This morning, we as disciples of Christ again come to the table. Again, the table that has been prepared by our host, Jesus himself. Yes, as we read, he went to the cross. There he was crucified for us. He paid a debt, Mother Cora, that we owe that we could not pay. I'm so glad, even in the midst of them taunting him and the thief saying, if you be the Son of God, come down. But what did he do? He didn't come down. He stayed there. He stayed there for you and I, giving us an opportunity to be able to receive God as our personal Savior. You know what? I got a Savior today. Being able to carry out the commission that he had, that his Father God had given to him, that brought back the relationship, the fellowship between God and man. The very thing that happened in the garden when there was a separation because of them listening to the wrong voice. But because of what Jesus did there at Calvary, Jesus was the bridge that man could walk across to God. I'm so thankful this morning. So as we take the bread this morning, the bread represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was broken for you and I. Let us eat. This morning, as we look at the fruit of the vine, it represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you and I. Let us drink. I want to remind us this morning, as disciples of Christ, those of us that are called ambassadors of God, those that are called the righteousness of God, that we have an assignment. Sister Ruby, I remind us of this assignment as many times as I can, because we need to be about what the Lord has called us to do. No matter where we are, whether we're in the grocery store, the supermarket, the doctor's office, whether we're just sitting on a park bench or riding a bus, we have an assignment. The thing about it is, I tell military members, Brother Al, when they retire, they hang up their uniforms and they hang up wearing the insignia that they will wear on the uniform. But in this army, the army of the Lord, we are on the battlefield until he calls us home. Let me remind you this morning of the Great Commission, what we as disciples of Christ have been called to do. When I look there in Matthew 28, and I read verses number 19, but let me go up to 18 if you don't mind. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Notice what he says in verse 19. Therefore, he's talking to you and I this morning. Therefore, go. That means got to be some action. Go and make disciples of all nations. How am I going to do that, Minister Deborah? Well, you have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that lives in you. Not only do you have the Holy Ghost, but you have the Word of God. And that's how we make disciples. We take them over to Romans 10, 9 and 10. We take them to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We take them over to John 15, 1 through 8. We take them over to 1 Corinthians 13. We take them over there to Colossians 3 and 16. Here's what he says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And notice what Jesus says to us as disciples of Christ. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Our God, you all, is faithful. Our God is with us. Let us go. Let us baptize them first in the Word of God. Baptize them in the Word. Baptize them in the promises of God. Baptize them knowing that they can be in the presence of God. And when they come out, they can have the power of God. Amen. Amen. Brother Al.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other one I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen.
May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen, amen, amen. Good Sunday morning. Good Sunday morning. Thank you for joining with us on today. And remember this, God is faithful. Amen.
Amen. Hope to hear you all this evening. Hope to hear you all this evening.